Now, let's look at chapter 14, because we're through with this. The ark's not going to be brought up at this time. And God is blessing the family that has it now, but David's going to turn his attention to something else. And this is what he wanted to do, was bring the ark to Jerusalem. Now notice, chapter 14, now verse 1. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and timber of cedars and masons and carpers to build him a house. David and Hiram, king of Tyre, were great friends. Hiram loved David. David was a man greatly beloved. And this man wanted to help him build his house, build a palace. And David perceived that the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. And David took more wives at Jerusalem, and David begat more sons and daughters. This is what got him in trouble. Now somebody says, well, God permitted this? Or God apparently approved this? No, God didn't approve it. God disapproved of it. In fact, this is going to be David's big problem. And it's going to bring judgment upon him. And it's going to bring sorrow to him the rest of his life. This is wrong. But this is what he did. This record is not given to us because God approved it. This is given to us because this is actually what happened. This is history we're looking at. And if you follow the history, you find out God's attitude. God judged him. Now, David's going out against the Philistines, verse 9. The Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines, and wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. So they came up to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there. David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore they call the name of that place Baal-perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Now, this was a great victory for David over the Philistines. They hadn't had many victories over these people. Now we read, and the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God and said unto him, go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. In other words, you retreat and draw the enemy into the place where it'll be a better place for battle. I believe today that there are a great many Christians that actually they tempt the Lord. They don't trust him. They tempt him. They enter into some sort of a business, or they enter into some sort of an arrangement, or they attempt to do something, or, as the old bromide has it, they bite off more than they can chew, and they say they're trusting the Lord. Well, how do you know the Lord told you to do it that way? Now, one time David went out, fought against the Philistines. God gave him the victory. Now, David, on that basis, could say, well, here are the Philistines that have come against me again. Here's another crowd of them back. I'll go out against them. God says, don't do it. That's not the way to do it this time. Don't do anything foolish. Now, you draw them. You retreat. And you draw them to the mulberry trees. Then you're going to have a fine opportunity to fight them there. Now, God wants you and me to use sanctified common sense. It's not the faith always that you see exhibited today of people doing a great many things. Now, I've seen folk that made shipwreck of faith because of that. I know that there was a dear lady that came to the church I served here in Pasadena years ago, and she said, oh, Dr. McGee, you're so wrong. God's going to heal me. And you think I ought not to go to this faith healer. I'm going to him, and I'll be healed. And she went, and she was not healed, because there are a lot of them that are not healed. And she was not healed. She couldn't understand it. I went over to see her. She said, I can't understand it. I thought God is going to heal me. You know, it made shipwreck of that woman's faith. She got to the place where she turned her back upon God. She said, he let me down. No, he didn't. He doesn't want you to do something very foolish. He wants you to use good old sanctified common sense. Maybe she should have gone to the doctor. And it eventuated finally in her death, by the way. May I say to you, we need to trust the Lord, yes. But sometimes he wants you to go out and do battle, and again, he wants you to withdraw. Now, notice this, verse 15. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistine. That's a wonderful thing. And I want to be very frank with you. A friend of mine came to me to tell me about he's a minister, about a church he was going to. And I know something about the church. I advised him not to go. And he said, why not? I said, you better wait till you hear the sound going through those mulberry trees before you go there. That's the important thing. There are many times that you and I need to wait on the Lord for that sound of going through the mulberry trees. This business of stepping out on faith may not be faith at all, just foolishness. Not trusting God, it's tempting God. Now, verse 16, David therefore did as God commanded him. They smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Now, that's my reason for saying the other day that David was one of the great world leaders, and his kingdom was one of the great world kingdoms at this particular time. And God was with this man. That little nation in that place there became a great world power. Somebody said, I don't understand it. Well, I think it's, in this case, is miraculous. But had you ever stopped to think that there are many instances of that? Venice, the city of Venice, at one time was a great world ruler, just a city. Now, here's a very small nation. But God now is moving in this. And he's brought this man to world prominence. Now, that is certainly true in this section here. Here we have these chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, given over to David and the ark. That is, of bringing the ark up to Jerusalem to the place that David had chosen. Now, that is something that is quite interesting, by the way, because it could well be given to us some of the state business, some of the many decisions that David made, probably treaties that he made with his enemies, probably an emphasis on wars, and probably an emphasis on certain state function. It could have been given to us very much like one of the TV newscasts given to us today. You know, they give everything today that is not really important. They give the unimportant today, and we get propaganda. It's rather refreshing, I hope that you get that, to get God's viewpoint. I'd love to know God's viewpoint of the news today. And this is the book that will help me get God's viewpoint. Where is God putting the emphasis today? Not where CBS or NBC or ABC or XYZ is putting the emphasis. Where does God put the emphasis? And it's well to have a couple of books like this, and that's what makes them important. Now, God put the emphasis on bringing the ark, this that was the very heart and center of the worship of these people, that which God had given to them. Now, there's another question arises. What had happened to the tabernacle? You want to know, my firm conviction is it worn out. After all, it was a tent. And most of it was covering. And all that apparently was worn out by now. And apparently the golden boards that were there and the brazen pillars and silver vases, they're all gone because the enemies, I guess, took those off. I guess the Philistines got them. But that wasn't the important thing. The important thing was the ark. That's where God met these people, and above the ark was the mercy seat. And that is the important thing today. The most important thing for you and for me is to have a place where we can receive mercy from God. And that's what we need today. We all need God's mercy. And God's prepared to extend mercy, but He has a mercy seat today. Christ, we're told, He is the propitiation. Big word, but all it means is mercy seat. He's the mercy seat for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, that's important to God, and it's not what you hear on TV today that's really important. And it's not the decisions made in Washington. I wouldn't belittle those, but the important decisions are God's decisions. And after all, I suppose it was pretty busy in the staff and in the palace of Napoleon in Paris. And I suppose that that was very important. But, you know, all that you got there today is a museum. They're not making many decisions today. It's not very important. And Versailles, my, how beautiful it is and how important it was. And there have been great decisions made there in the past. It's just a place, just a showcase today, something to look at. That's all that it is. It might have been well to have known what God thought was important. Now, it's important to see that God is interested in this mercy seat. Now, we saw last time that David attempted to bring the ark up the wrong way. It was the proper thing to bring the ark to Jerusalem. Not only had David chosen Jerusalem in the place, but God had chosen that place. And therefore, it's important to bring the ark up to Jerusalem. But he did it the wrong way. God had given instructions. In the book of Numbers, we saw last time that the ark was to be carried on the shoulders of the Kohathites, of the family of Levi, the priests. They were to carry the ark. And that was the way it was to be done. That ark represents Christ. That ark with the mercy seat on it speaks of the gospel today, and it's to be carried on human shoulders. It's to be carried today. And my friend, getting out the Word of God today is not easy. This idea that it's sort of a picnic. A great many people think church work, that is if it's the right kind, is, you know, something very delightful. Well, the delightful part is that you're doing His will because you love Him. And that always makes it a thrilling experience. But it's not easy to get out the Word of God. And I would say to you today, Christian friend, if you're having it easy, something wrong. That's the most disturbing thing for any Christian is not when trouble comes to him or the storm comes, but the most disturbing point in his life is when the storm quits blowing and there's a calm and he's feeling good and everything seems to be going right. That's the moment to watch out for, because if you're in the business of getting the Word of God out, it's something that's not very easy to do. Now, will you notice that it has to be done by God's people and it has to be done God's way? And the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God's only blessing His Word today. And Paul went on to say, he said, they've got to hear. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. It's not foolishness. It's the wisdom of God. But that's the way that God wants it done. And there is today a sight around us. We are seeing a world today that's turned to drugs. We see the restlessness that's about us today. A church having departed from the Word of God is in as much disarray as any other. Theology and the great background of both Roman Catholicism and Protestantism today is a shambles, friend. Why? Because they both got away from the Word of God. And as a result, why, they're not doing it God's way. I believe that today, friends, the most important matter is to get the ark of God on the move. That's to get the gospel going out. That's to get the Word of God moving today. And that's the important thing. Great many think it's unimportant. Now, I've spent a little time there because this is where God puts the emphasis.